keeping the great gates secure. The wizards were learning that while it was all very fine and impressive to have a set of gates that were locked by magic, it ought to have occurred to the builders to include some sort of emergency backup device, such as, for example, a pair of ordinary, unimpressive, stout iron bolts. In the square outside the gates, several large bonfires had been lit, for effect as much as anything else, because the heat from the star was scorching. "But you can still see the stars," said Twoflower. "The other stars, I mean. The little ones. In a black sky." Rincewind ignored him. He was looking at the gates. A group of star people and citizens were trying to batter them down. "It's hopeless," said Bethan. "We'll never get in. Where are you going?" "For a walk," said Rincewind. He was setting off determinedly down a side street. There were one or two freelance rioters here, mostly engaged in wrecking shops. Rincewind took no notice, but followed the wall until it ran parallel to a dark alley that had the usual unfortunate smell of all alleys everywhere. Then he started looking very closely at the stonework. The wall here was 20 feet high and topped with cruel metal spikes. "I need a knife," he said. "You're going to cut your way through? Just find me a knife," said Rincewind. He started to tap stones. Twoflower and Bethan looked at each other and shrugged. A few minutes later, they returned with a selection of knives, and Twoflower had even managed to find a sword.
"We just helped ourselves," said Bethan.
"But we left some money," said Twoflower. "I mean, we would have left some money if we'd had any."
"So he insisted on writing a note," said Bethan wearily.
Twoflower drew himself up to his full height, which was hardly worth it. "I see no reason," he began stiffly.
"Yes, yes," said Bethan, sitting down glumly. "I know you don't. Rincewind, all the shops have been smashed open. There was a whole bunch of people across the street helping themselves to musical instruments. Can you believe that?"
"Yeah," said Rincewind, picking up a knife and testing its blade thoughtfully. "Looters, I expect." He thrust the blade into the wall, twisted it, and stepped back as a heavy stone fell out. He looked up, counting under his breath, and levered another stone from its socket.
"How did you do that?" said Twoflower.
"Just give me a leg up, will you?" said Rincewind. A moment later, his feet wedged into the holes he had created, he was making further steps halfway up the wall.
"It's been like this for centuries," his voice floated down. "Some of the stones haven't got any mortar. Secret entrance, see? Watch out below!"
Another stone cracked onto the cobbles.
"Students made it long ago," said Rincewind. "Handy way in and out after lights out."
"Ah," said Twoflower, "I understand. Over the wall and out to brightly lit tavernas to drink and sing and recite poetry, yes?"
"Nearly right, except for the singing and the poetry, yes," said Rincewind. "Couple of these spikes should be loose." There was a clang. "There's not much of a drop this side," came his voice after a few seconds. "Come on, then, if you're coming."
And so it was that Rincewind, Twoflower and Bethan entered Unseen University. Elsewhere on the campus, the 8 wizards inserted their keys and with many a worried glance at one another turned them. There was a faint little snicking sound as the lock slid open. The octavo was unchained. A faint octarine light played across its bindings. Trumon reached out and picked it up, and none of the others objected. His arm tingled. He turned towards the door.
"Now to the great hall, brothers," he said, "if I may lead the way."
And there were no objections. He reached the door with the book tucked under his arm. It felt hot and somehow prickly. At every step he expected a cry, a protest, and none came. He had to use every ounce of control to stop himself from laughing. It was easier than he could have imagined. The others were halfway across the claustrophobic dungeon by the time he was through the door, and perhaps they had noticed something in the set of his shoulders, but it was too late, because he had crossed the threshold, gripped the handle, slammed the door, turned the key, smiled the smile. He walked easily back along the corridor, ignoring the enraged screams of the wizards who had just discovered how impossible it is to pass spells in a room built to be impervious to magic. The octavo squirmed, but Trumon held it tightly. Now he ran, putting out of his mind the horrible sensations under his arm as the book shape-changed into things hairy, skeletal and spiky. His hand went numb. The faint chittering noises he had been hearing grew in volume, and there were other sounds behind them. Leering sounds, beckoning sounds.